For the last 2 weekends, I've shared some insights and some applications related to the phrase, let there be light. And this weekend, I want to personalize that idea even more by dialing into some things that Jesus specifically taught about the light. The original, let there be light, released bright, clear illumination. And it continues to do so to this very day. It has always done so, and it will always do so. The source of illumination and light is God Himself. God is illumination incarnate. In His light, we see light. God's light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. In Him is life. And that life is the light that shines and pierces through the darkness. Our God is the true light, genuine, perfect, steadfast. And every person on the planet is invited to live and walk in the light as He is in the light. The choice to live and walk in the light is foundational in our relationship with God. The choice to live and walk in the light is fundamental to discovering deep, refreshing, satisfying relationships with other people. And the choice to live and walk in the light is also the formational path of life that leads us to deep inner healing and forgiveness all the way to the core of our being. In order to walk in the light more faithfully and consistently, there are some things that we have to deal with. One, we have to deal with our attraction to the darkness. Two, we have to unlearn our tendency to twist away from the light. And three, we have to get over our deceptive fear of the light. Jesus once said, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done through God. So, what we know about what we do has a direct bearing on how each of us respond to the light. We live in a world that is constantly blurring, moving, and changing the line between dark and light. There are things that are just commonplace, acceptable in our society today that in 1950 would never have been spoken of openly. Society is constantly moving that line. How do we know where the line is between dark and light? Well, let me tell you a simple way to tell the difference every single time. How do you react to the light before you do that deed and after you do that deed? How do you react when you're thinking about doing something? Does it make you want to step into the light and say, look what I'm about to do? Or does it make you think, oh, I hope nobody sees me do this? Or after you've done something, you feel like, there, that was good. I'm glad that happened. Or, oh my goodness, how did that happen? How we respond to the deed before or after determines the essence and the nature of the light. Does it create in us a desire for cover-up, or does it create transparency? The ironic reality about cover-up is that at best, it's a short-term fiction. Numbers 32:23, Franklin loves to quote this verse, you may be very sure of this, your sin will find you out. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Psalm 139:11-12, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, O God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. We live in a world that makes movies about the darkness. Watch the stuff. Watch the filth that'll be coming out the rest of this month, leading up to the end of this month. And we live in a society that sensationalizes evil. But listen to me, make no mistake. Evil is very real. I personally think there's enough real evil that you don't need to go to places to get scared. There's enough real evil going into the world that I honestly, I mean, You test it before the Lord. You see if going in there on the other side of it makes it, I'm so glad I saw that, or, oh, I wish I hadn't saw that. Cover up a trend. You see. But stepping into some of these places where evil is just the whole scope of the, for 2 hours, being deluged by scary evil stuff, you do not walk out of that the same as you walked in. And you open yourself up to evil. It's not neutral. Doing evil is not neutral. Cooperating, participating with evil breeds and releases within us something that we cannot afford to have released in us, a hatred for the light. In our humanity, a lot of times we relegate evil to the really, really bad stuff. But in the Bible, the word translated for doing evil doesn't just limit it to the really bad stuff. In the Bible, the Greek word for doing evil covers a wide swath of things, from doing things that are foul, doing things that are just out of bounds or inappropriate. It also includes things that are flawed, things that are less than the best and not about excellence, and all the way figuratively to doing wicked things. But here's the bottom line about evil deeds. They are always hurtful in effect and influence. Always hurtful in effect and influence. And the whole spectrum of doing evil always opens the door to fear in our lives. And when we give fear a place in us, that fear will create a loathing, detesting, and a shrinking away from the light as a misguided, deceitful effort to avoid exposure and reproof. Cover up or transparency? If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. We'll start there. We're all created to live by the truth. We have a God-given bent to live in the light. And when we live in the light, we have no fear of our deeds being plainly seen. And hopefully, when we live in the light, our deeds regularly reveal God is working through us and we are working with him. In the New Testament, the majority of times that we read the word light, it's the Greek word phos, to shine, to make manifest, luminousness, in its widest applications. By definition, this light cannot be contained. By definition, this light emits light. It could be a star. It could be a fire. It could be a lamp. It can even describe the heavenly light surrounding the angels when they appear on the earth. How many remember the show Touched by an Angel? They're talking to just what looks like a normal person, and then all of a sudden, they start glowing, right? And then you know you're in the presence of the angels. But that wasn't just on Touched by an Angel. The shepherds, on the night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, on that night, the glory of the Lord filled the dark night. The angels were glowing with the glow of heaven. But listen to this. For each one of us who has surrendered the control of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that same heavenly light, it now lives inside of us. And so we're supposed to glow. However, to glow in the light and to glow in the dark is actually primarily not about what we're supposed to do. To glow in the light and to glow in the dark is primarily something that actually reveals the true nature of who we are. Look at Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Tell your neighbor, you're the light of the world. They may not have believed you. Tell them a second time. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the first recorded sermon in Jesus' public ministry. And right from the get-go, he connects the identity of his hearers with being the light of the world.
I think it's important to note that he didn't spend 3 years laying a theological foundation for them so they could step into that place. He didn't give them this extensive list of actions and deeds. He gave them some attitudes that would be good in their heart and the way to live and those kind of things. But it wasn't like all this extensive training and then said, okay, I'm about to check out. Now you go be the light. No, from the very beginning, the identity he identified to them was, you are the light of the world. You're like an unhideable city on a hill, right from the start. Now, a year or so later, Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, and he said this. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So our light of the world identity comes from surrendering our lives and following Jesus, and him coming to dwell in us. And like any good light, it only works when it's connected to the power source. These are 250-watt bulbs that are up here in the ceiling. 250-watt. You can't hardly even buy them anymore because of all the new codes and those kinds of things. Those are bright lights, and when you turn one of those on, they get hot in a hurry. But all you have to do to stop that is turn the power off. These spotlights and things that we've got up here are so bright, so amazing, so beautiful. But you unplug them, and it's just a black thing up on the wall. Same thing with us. It's so essential for us to stay connected to Jesus. He is the empowering source inside of us. And as we stay connected to him, then we will choose naturally to do the things that are in obedience to his word. And his directive to us is, let your light shine. Stay plugged in. Let your light shine. And once again, there's a link to letting our light shine and what's seen in our deeds. Let your light shine. Why? So that other people will see your good deeds. Let your light shine so that when they see what you do, it causes them to praise your Father in heaven. I believe Jesus modeled this lifestyle for us. Now he wants to live it in us and with us. Jesus' life revealed the Father. It says he was the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. Now, there'll only be one exact representation of his being, but the rest of us are called to be representations of his being, and we are all called to radiate the goodness and the glory of God in our everyday lives. And with the help of the Holy Spirit and God's presence inside us, that's possible. That's possible for every one of us. The Message Bible translates these verses like this. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. I love that. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Pablo and I were talking yesterday. He was talking about on his phone, when raindrops hit on his phone, you turn your phone that way and all these different colors, the colors of the prism, different colors in each one of the raindrops. We're here to be light, releasing God's colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lampstand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a lampstand, shine. Keep open your house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, your generous Father in heaven. What kind and what quality of God colors radiate from our lives, in our deeds and in our words and in our actions? We're all light bearers. And we're designed to naturally and confidently let our light shine. I'm pretty sure of this. I don't think there's any light in your house that has an inferiority complex. There is no light in your house that thinks, oh, don't turn me on, don't turn me on, don't turn me on. I don't think your light even thinks, turn me on, turn me on. Your light doesn't have, it just does what it does. You turn the power on, you turn the switch, that light comes on, because that's what it is created to do. And our faith, our hope, our confidence, our connection with God is not supposed to be something in secret, something that we're afraid of, something that we keep hidden. It's who we are, it's what we do. We have been placed by God himself on a lampstand, and we are created to live there. And we're created to live there on, and we're created to live there shining. Have you ever heard the phrase, we'll leave a light on for you? It's an act of hospitality, right? I mean, you walk up to a house with the porch light off, it really means don't come into my house, right? But if the porch light's on, you can still come. When we leave our house at night, we turn all the lights off. But when we've gone from the house at night and coming back to the house, we leave lights on so that when we walk into the house, we're not walking into the darkness. Our lives are supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be living in such a way that we leave a light on for people. There's always an invitation and a welcome for people to come to us, and in coming to us, come also to the God that we love and serve. Our lives are intended to be light givers for other people. We have the opportunity to live in such a way that the life and the light in us makes it easier for other people to find their way to God. As radical and reckless as it is, here's the truth. God's plan is to use people like us to lead other people to himself. That's his plan. He's not changing it. That is the plan. Jesus came and did what he did, and now the ball's been bounced into our court. And we're the ones to be the light of the world, to bring other people to God. Then halfway through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus added a necessary caution. Go to chapter 6, look at verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. It's always a healthy thing to honestly check and evaluate our motivations for why we do what we do. Let me say that people-pleasing never works out like we think. When we're living a people-pleasing lives, we tend to give ourselves away to other people, but you're going to end up feeling used and disrespected most of the time. Religiosity. Now, the best question to ask about religiosity is not, do I have any of that in me? The best question to ask about religiosity is, where is it in me? And how do I get rid of it? How do I renounce it? How do I repent connection with it? I don't want any of that in me. Because all of us, one way or another, have some of this still at work in us that still needs to be cleansed and washed out. And religiosity frequently manufactures a desire to do good works. And especially so, other people can see us do the good work. But religiosity is always a trap. Oh, yeah, it may create some momentary praise from people. It may give you some moments in the spotlight. But it is disconnected from the way that God desires for good deeds to be done. And it's disconnected from the reward that God has in mind for good deeds. The Message Bible says it this way. Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. You see, letting our light shine is not about attention getting. Letting our light shine is about being and releasing good in effect and influence in our world. Letting our light shine is to be helpful and illuminating. And more often than not, letting our light shine is done in quiet, unobtrusive ways. Several years ago, I heard someone teaching on a phrase that from the minute I heard it, I knew that's for me. That's the way I'm called to live. And the phrase is for an audience of one. For an audience of one. I believe that's the healthiest spiritual motivation. Living for an audience of one. At the end of the day, checking in. Not did I make everybody in my whole world happy, though I'm the kind of person I'd like everybody in my world to be happy with me. But at the end of the day, have I honored the Father? At the end of the day, have I brought him glory with my life? At the end of the day, have I walked in obedience with him? In fact, it's to the point now where I even check in with him in the middle of the day, not just at the end of the day, because I want to stay in step with the Spirit all through. Living for an audience of one, openly, purposely, intentionally, living and walking in the light, unhidden and uncontained, with a single desire to be pleasing to God in all of my ways. That's what it's about. And that's an opportunity that every one of us is afforded, to live each moment of every day for an audience of one. Now look down to verse 22 of chapter 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. This is another biblical check and balance. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? King James says it this way: the light of the body is the eye. Now, this is a different Greek word from phos. This is one of the exceptions to the majority of times when you see light, and it's that word phos, to shine, to make manifest, luminousness in the widest applications. This is a different word for light. And in the original expanded definition, this first sentence would read like this: the lustrous, brilliant, resplendent, transparent, well-illumined part of a sound and whole body is the eye. What do people see when they look into our eyes? What do we see when we look into other people's eyes? When I was working on this this week, and then again last night after I said this, I thought of something that we were in a conference, and one of the exercises in the conference was to match up with somebody else. And then they said, what you're going to do is you're just going to stare right into their eyes for the next 2 minutes. I'm telling you, it was radical what happened. I mean, all of us have a tendency to want to look away. I mean, staring at somebody else for 2 minutes is uncomfortable, but everybody was doing it, so it was a conference, you had to do it. There was something about looking into the eyes of the person, and in the beginning, looking in, it was like, what are they seeing? What are they seeing looking into me? But by the time it got to the end of the 2 minutes, my mind had transferred to, what am I releasing into them? I want life into them. I want health into them. I want the best into them. It had changed from what are they seeing to what am I releasing? It was such an interesting thing. What do people see when they look in our eyes? What do we see when we look in other people's eyes? The Message Bible says your eyes are the windows into your body. Shakespeare stole that and said your eyes are the window to the soul. And the truth is our eyes do provide a lot of information about our emotional state in any given moment. If we're sad and worried, we tend to furrow our brow, and it makes our eyes smaller. When we're happy and cheerful and bright-eyed, when we're happy and cheerful, we lift our eyes and we raise our eyebrows, and it makes our eyes bigger, and it makes our eyes brighter. Juan, is Juan still in here this morning? There. When you came up out of the water, the look in your eyes before you were baptized and the look in your eyes when you came out was completely different. God's doing something in you, and we bless that. Yeah. Juan's got really cool eyes. He's got some pale blue eyes. I mean, he's got some cool eyes anyway, but something different shining your light when you came up out of the water. And that's what it's about. You can tell a fake smile from a real smile by looking at somebody's eyes. Both smiles may have the little grin, but only the real smile creates the crow's feet wrinkles at the corner of the eyes. Giving you some hints here, helpful hints. Jesus said this: if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. The Message Bible interpreted it this way: if you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. It's a really interesting interpretation of if your lights are good. But interestingly, it accurately reflects the way the pupils in our eyes work. Our pupils dilate and contract to regulate the amount of light coming into our eyes. And we all know that our pupils get smaller when we're in the light, and they get bigger when we're in the dark. It's a God-created involuntary reaction. Here's the fuller picture. Whenever we see something that we're interested in, whenever we see something or someone that we are attracted to, whenever we see something that we're fascinated with, or whenever we walk into a situation where we need to give more attention and more focus to someone or something, our pupils always dilate and get bigger. Why? Because in order to get more information, we have to take in more light. I love that, because if our eyes are good, if we live with wide open eyes and wonder and belief, I think that translates into we're living our lives interested in what's going on around us. We're not just going through the motions. We're looking more intently into circumstances, situations, and people in our lives, in pursuit of the light. God is the light. We're living intentionally looking to find God right in the middle of everything that's going on around us. And for those with eyes to see, living eyes wide open in wonder and belief is living with expectancy. Where will I find God? Right in the middle of this situation. I'm not seeing him right now, but instead of closing my eyes or turning away, I'm going to open my eyes wider because I know he's here. He's everywhere. His light permeates all of creation. He's in this somewhere. I'm not recognizing it or seeing it yet. So let me look more into it because I want to find him. I'm going to see what he's up to. Flip over to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eyes are bad, your body also is full of darkness. Those verses sound familiar? I hope so. I've read them to you already this morning, making sure you're still interested and plugged in here. But this is in Luke instead of in Matthew. Matthew has Jesus teaching this information right out of the chute, right out of the first public sermon. Jesus is talking about this. In Luke's gospel, it actually shows up in chapter 8 and in chapter 11, neither time connected to the sharing of the Beatitudes and what would we think about as a Sermon on the Mount. So what this tells me is that these points were a regular point of emphasis that Jesus was making throughout his ministry. Now, if Jesus said something one time, it's enough to pay attention and give ourselves to the application of it into our lives. But when Jesus says something more than once, and I found at least three times this week where he said this same thing in our scriptures, then I think it's something we need to pay attention to. And what I really love about Luke's translation and capturing of this in chapter 11. When Jesus spoke about this in Matthew, he said, if your eyes are good and if your eyes are bad. By the time it gets now to Luke chapter 11, later in his ministry, now he's not saying if they're good or bad. He's saying when your eyes are good. The King James says, when your eyes are single. The Amplified says, when your eye and your conscience is sound and fulfilling its office. The New American Standard, when your eye is clear, then our whole body is full of light. And that word for full is that same word, lustrous, brilliant, resplendent, transparent, and well illumined. But when our eyes are bad, when our eyes are evil, when our eyes are not sound and not fulfilling its office, when our eyes are hurtful in effect and influence, then our whole body is also full of darkness. This word right here in the Greek for darkness is the Greek word that means opaque. Opaque. When our eyes are not good, we're not transparent. When our eyes are not good, we're not translucent. When our eyes are not good, we're opaque, not allowing light to pass through, not shining, not bright. And notice that as usual, Jesus didn't leave any middle ground. He didn't say, when your eyes are good, when your eyes are so-so, when your eyes are bad. It's when your eyes are good, when your eyes are bad. It's one or the other. Look at verse 35. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Now this is a different word for darkness. Same word in English. When your eyes are bad, it's darkness. That's the word opaque. But here, see to it that the light within you is not darkness is a different word. This word says, see to it that the light within you is not shadiness. You see, our God is the Father of the heavenly lights, in whom there is no shifting shadow. Make sure that what you're counting on as your light isn't some substitute that's full of shady, shifting shadows. Be sure that the light within you is not the darkness of error. Be sure that the light within you is not obscurity. Be sure that the light within you is not concealed in a faint image or resemblance. Be sure that the light within you doesn't just create sketches and outlines. God's intention and directive for all of us is for us to let our light shine in full color. Don't settle for anything less. Don't be deceived by a counterfeit. Look into your own eyes. and pay attention to what you see. Cover up or transparency? Look at verse 36. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines on you. The Message Bible says, keep your eyes open, keep your lamp burning so that you don't get musty and murky. Keep your life as well lighted as the best lighted room in your house. Some of the rooms in our house have a light in the middle of the room. So if there's a light in the middle of the room, you just turn that light on. You may or may not need other lights in the room. But we have some rooms in our house that don't have a light in the ceiling. So guess what? You got to put lights around that room. In those rooms, we have multiple lights around the room. Now, in our house, we've got a lot of lamps in a lot of rooms because we like to create different ambiances with the light. But the point of this being, God's desire is for us to live our lives like the best lit room in our house. When we let our light shine, we will lead by example. When we let our light shine, we will influence others to turn to God. When we let our light shine, we will stay in the light, and because our light is on, we'll invite others, like a welcome sign, like a vacancy sign. Come live in the light with us, living and walking the right path in the right way. Letting our light shine is so needed in our world today. It's needed in our homes, it's needed in our schools, it's needed in our communities, it's needed in our nation. We must not lose our way. We are the light of the world. Our wisdom, our perseverance, our example needs to be clearly on display. We've been put on the lampstand by Jesus himself. That's God's heart for each of us. And it's our part in partnership with him. And when our light shines like this, I think we actually experience a portion of fulfillment of something that Jesus prayed in John 17. I and them, and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Let's stand together. It's an amazing thing, God, that your passion and your desire would be for people like us to be the light of your world. Thank you for calling us into this place. Thank you for equipping us to fulfill that purpose and mandate. Lord, even right now, I just ask that in the sweet, kind, gentle way that your spirit works, places of agreement that we have with darkness, we'd let them go today. We don't have to think about it. Probably every time I mention it, that thought came to mind already. So if anything came to mind, oh, cover up, cover up, cover up. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we claim the blood of Jesus over each of our lives. We receive the forgiveness that he secured for us on the cross. We repent of agreement with any form of darkness. We renounce it. We choose the light. And we allow you to put that behind us. We put the cross between us and that. And we step forward with you to be the light that you've created us to be. Releasing God colors into our world. Shining so other people see our deeds and give glory to you and praise to you. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to live connected to the source of light. Your light in whom there's no darkness at all. Your life is light. And we thank you for your life and your light in each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.